Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Malone, and you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, people, keep it coming. You are in the net live, or live in the net, as Heather Bound likes to say.
We get to talk to her today, huh?
We get to talk to her today.
Can she re-record that?
Monday morning, welcome. We needed to record that. Hey, big news with the net live. You heard it just now. 3 microphones in the Redondo Beach home court. Welcome, everyone.
And last week when I was out, and for all those people that think I don't play hurt, that I just could not be here. I didn't want to get my coworkers sick, but hearing you with your microphone hurt me.
The desk was better than sitting on the couch.
Yeah, the couch is okay. Right. What's wrong with the couch?
I got the cat walking all over me. The cat wants to get pet. The cat didn't buzz me when I was at the table.
Barney, can I ask you one question?
Yes, sir.
I haven't seen a guy in like 12 days. What has happened to this guy? I know they can't see him because it's radio, but the guy has got a full mountain man beard.
Well, yeah. Dan's going with the single length hair theory. All the way around is just one length.
Back to the, 1994 style.
You're such a trim lord.
You need some sort of flannel to go with that look.
I need more on the top. It's a little thin on the top of the head.
There's a place called the Hair Club for Men.
How much did that microphone cost, by the way? I wasn't
you don't
aware
know.
Of.
You don't want to know what these microphones cost, but you just have to know we sound good.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Net Live, ladies and gentlemen. We do have another big show for you here today. As you can hear, the Redondo Beach home court is full, but the Siberian outpost is empty.
It's empty. It's empty. Reed Pretty today.
He is on the plane up in the air, so hopefully we'll hear from him perhaps while he's picking up groceries again.
But they did well.
They did well. They tied for second in the regular season. They will be headed to playoffs in the third place position, given the point split.
I'm going to miss crushing him today at the end of the show.
Yeah, but he's not going to be here to speak to Heather Bound, who's our first guest, professional player, Olympic silver medalist. We'll talk to her about Italy. And then also Alan Knipe, Reed Pretty's head coach. We're going to put him on the hot seat here and grill him about year number two of the Alan Knipe era.
I just can't believe it's already year number two.
Neither can he. I mean, he got hired like 2 weeks before World League started, and I'm sure it was a whirlwind until it shut down in November.
And hopefully he knows that most of his superstar players are listening around the world.
Oh, he knows. Sean Rooney probably going to appear in the chat board.
He's in the chat board right now.
Good, good.
Don't worry about
Maybe
him.
Ryan Millar will make another unannounced appearance.
By the way, the show doesn't go if Rooney's not in.
Hey, if you want to talk to Sean Rooney, get in there. And if you want to talk to us, 347-677-1525. We will try and get you in the program if you have a question, comment. If you just want to talk to Dan and get some fashion advice, 347-677-1525.
Barney, since I've been a part of the show for the last 6 weeks, we haven't had a phone call yet.
I know.
I want someone to get in there.
There was one last week.
Yeah, we had Jay Hosek call in last week.
Guys, guess what? I was not here.
You were in the doctor's office trying to stream us on your iPhone.
What is someone in the little riff that, the opening of the show going to say, hey, we're in the net live with Reed, Barney, and then maybe Ed Geeter in there one time? Is it?
Well,
you guys are both looking at me like, no, that's not going to happen.
What?
You want to be in the open?
I don't know, maybe. Thinking
yeah, we
got
to change it. Maybe we'll get Heather to record something new.
There's a picture of you guys arm in arm on volleyballnetwork.com.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's awesome.
Terrible.
Barney wearing the Affliction t-shirt.
Oh, it is Quicksilver.
Dude.
It is Quicksilver, and it's cool. Well, no, it was cool years ago. I don't know about now. Time goes by, and I look around and go, I have 10-year-old t-shirts that I'm wearing every day.
You had a gold medal with the lanyard part. Matches his shirt. She's just like got a gold medal sitting at his
hovering. So Geeter, you're back after a week. Couple of big events for you. You did the Big West semifinals on ESPN, which I had a chance to check out.
My ESPN debut, and you being a broadcaster as well know how crazy that was when our open did not work. I did not know. We went for those of you that didn't see it, obviously all of you who did, but we did our open and I'm 3 minutes into the game and my producer keeps saying in my ear, apologize for the technical difficulties and welcome everybody. So I'm thinking to myself,
you're like, what technical difficulties?
Has nobody heard a word I've been saying? I mean, big open, if you're ever happen to do a broadcast, the Open is a big deal. You gear up for it. It's the high energy, and nobody saw it.
Here's what I heard.
There was a problem in Bristol. It was not our problem. So it was great, though, man. It went really well, and to finally be on ESPN was fun for me. And hopefully there's a lot more hoops in the future and possibly some volleyball. So
I'm glad to hear they were pleased. It's always a big
happy.
Thing. It's
yeah,
always
were
your
happy,
first
man.
Step in the
good.
Door. Yeah,
I followed up a lot, too. A lot of emails, a lot of ass-kissing.
Thanks a lot. You're the best.
Thanks a lot for having me, you know.
Yeah.
Dangle the bait out there just to see if they want me back.
I am available.
Yeah. And then a huge weekend this weekend. Girls SoCal qualifier and my club Sports Shack, we qualified. Got a bid to JO's, and it is a
very nice.
It's a tough weekend, man. It's long. It's emotional.
What
a
age
lot
group?
Of games, 18s.
18s.
And it's the best volleyball played in the country. I mean, it's the hardest qualifier, and only three teams get a bid. So us, Coast in San Diego, and Santa Barbara got the bid.
Nice.
Yeah. We beat Laguna Beach to get the bid, and they're a great team.
Talk about the girls' club scene, and talk about some of the good players that are out there right now, some of the great athletes that you're seeing that you think will make an impact in NCAA and perhaps internationally.
You know, a lot like college football and college basketball on the men's side, you see more young guys as freshmen, sophomore making an impact. That's happening in women's volleyball now. The athletes are that good. This year, Barney, and I'm not just saying that, this year in Southern California, the best volleyball that I've ever seen played top to bottom. There's probably 8, 9, 10 teams that can all beat each other on any given weekend. I mean, it's an absolute battle there. It's really fun to coach because you get to know these coaches too and these players.
Yep.
You know, it's the same guys every year that you're going against, so you battle with them all the time. You have so much respect for them, and everyone's good this year. I mean, there's the Wopat sisters that play up in Santa Barbara. I don't know if you guys have heard about them. They're both going to Stanford. I mean, athletically freakish. I have a young lady on my team as a junior. Jane Croson is going to go to Hawaii, who is just out of this world. These kids are
– I beat her in a co-ed last year.
You beat her?
Beach, yeah. But, dude, she was crushing the ball on a men's net.
And she's a better player than you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, her male partner was terrible.
Yeah. You know what's weird is I'm watching these setters, these girls setters in high school. And they're better than I am. They are.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that the younger athletes are making an impact?
I feel like they're starting at a younger age.
Yeah.
Athletically and physically, they're stronger than I feel they've ever been. I don't know if they're... You know, athletic training has gone so far. I don't know, you know, and the Pilates and the
diet,
plyometrics
focus.
And the diet, the focus. These kids are really, really focused. But that, you know, there is a concern for me, and that's that the club season is way too long. And I wanted to ask Heather about that when she comes on because she's a player who's gone on and played after college. But a lot of kids burn out, man. You know, like kids that you coach, you go, oh, she's going to have a great career. She'll go to college for a year or two, and they end up quitting. You know, I feel like the elite stay and play. But there's a lot that drop off. It just gets too much, man. I mean, because in high school ends in December or late November, Barney. Club starts the next, seriously, like 3 days later.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the tryouts, and then they take 2 weeks off for Christmas, and then it's
right into
January.
And it really is too much, and you see shoulder problems now a lot.
And some of these girls are playing basketball in between, and they're coming to club practice basketball or after soccer. It's insanity. And you and I chatted briefly off air talking about when should it start. I think February 1. There should be a moratorium on clubs till February 1. Because then you're looking at a season that's about 4.5 to 5 months long.
100% agree with you. It would be great for everybody. Coaches, players, colleges, get that little break.
Wouldn't be great for the club owners.
No, there'd be a little...
the business side.
A little money lost. But but they could figure out, you know, there's clinics you can do. You can start the younger teams. I just think
so in
16s, 17s, 18s, it's too much volley.
You'd have voluntary, involuntary workouts, be like the NFL.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
Voluntary workouts that are required.
I love the involuntary workouts. You remember those in college?
No, we didn't have those. I mean, you're limited. I guess it is that you could voluntarily show up, but I have to be
upstairs
there.
Gym at Cal State Northridge, Price, little John Price's eyes peeking through the window. I saw him all the time.
Yeah, no, you're going to have to be there. And I wanted to be there personally, but I know there were players that didn't want to be. Hey, Geeter, you were complaining. Yeah. We haven't had a caller. Here we go. 410, you're on the air. Welcome to the Net Live.
Fantastic.
Thank you. How's it going, Geeter?
What's going on?
Who's this?
This is Eric.
What's
from
up, Eric?
Baltimore.
Oh, very nice.
We're getting the B-more in the house.
Very nice. Eric, what's up? What's your question?
Well, I want to ask, and the opening sort of perked my interest, is, Geeter, you got any idea of how ESPN's going to be producing the telecast? Are you going to be one of the announcers?
Great question. You know, it's not official yet on what the announcing team is going to be. I know that I am in the running for the play-by-play spot. I know that I want the play-by-play spot. I've been told that it looks good for me, but, you know, there's other guys out there that want it as well. And I do know that the AVP's production team that has produced the last 2 years will be producing. Jerry Weinstein, Mark Werschkel. So it will be on ESPN. It will be on ABC. But AVP will be controlling the production team, which I think is great.
What's the timeline on that decision?
It better be soon. I talked to executive producer Mark Werschkel 3 days ago. And, you know, I just think they're trying to find the analyst. You know, they want to.
I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's a lot of great people out there. There really are. You know, there's you, there's Karch, there's Dane Blanton, there's maybe new guys like a Steve Timmons type guy. You know, there's things that I think.
All those guys you named have gold medals except me. I somehow tells
you're
them
part
of
that
running.
Gold medal though. So to answer your question, you know, the AVP will produce it. And God, man, I hope we can get that out to you guys as soon as possible. Who's going to be the broadcast team?
Awesome. Hey, Eric, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks.
Make sure watch it, Eric.
Oh, I'll watch it and be there in stadium in some venues.
Come say hello.
Awesome.
I'll still be emceeing the tournaments, no matter what. I think when it comes down to Sundays and the finals, if I'm the play-by-play guy like last year, then someone else would announce stadium court.
Oh, okay. So they have to find a new pump-up guy. Eric, thanks for listening out there in Baltimore. Good stuff. Yeah, the AVP is at an interesting crossroads with that ESPN-ABC deal. And
I agree.
We talked about it before when it first became public that was the deal, and hoping that ESPN will take it on as a property and perhaps put it on SportsCenter, have more feature shows. Do you think there's any of that energy? Have you heard anything about that? What direction that whole relationship is taking?
Well, I feel like when it was first announced, the energy was pretty high about it. I feel like now people are more focused on, is there a title sponsor? So
any news on that?
I think the Mike Dodd being the commissioner,
yeah,
us being on ABC and ESPN, is huge news and positive news. I know Jason Hodell and that group are working. I'm in contact with those guys weekly because I want to be able to announce something on this show. They're close. They're close. They're working hard. But no, there is no announcement yet. They have gotten a couple new sponsors, though. Power Balance is re-upped again, and Sweaty Bands has come on, and they're doing a AVP adopt a team, which is pretty cool, where they can adopt three athletes, four athletes. They can adopt a team and sponsor those guys in the markets. So those guys can come to the booth during tournaments, and they can pay them money to wear their stuff. And
the local, yeah, businesses.
Local,
right?
Businesses, yeah. Yeah. So it's that's a great thing, you know. I've always thought that would be a good idea, and now it's, you know, finally coming true, you know, where it can just sponsor some athletes. Maybe a middle-tier guy that's not getting the big, yeah, sponsorship dollars. Hey, man, we'll pay you a few grand to – that goes a long way.
I was talking to Reed. I still think the factory team model would work if you had that type of situation where you have a group of people that put together a group of large sponsors,
yep,
and you say to a mid-level player with some potential, you say, all right, I'm going to give you 30 grand this year,
yeah,
guaranteed. You're going to take home 70% of your winnings. We're going to take 30%.
Yeah.
And you're going to play practice underneath our tent at our schedule with our coach. We're going to travel to the tournaments. You're going to have maybe two teams, so you,
yeah,
have four people, and maybe eight if you can field the women's side also, men or women. And you're going to go and you're going to have this factory team that you're going to operate out of. And you're going to be,
yeah,
the Rockstar Makita Suzuki,
yeah,
you know, or that's the motocross model, but Rockstar Makita volleyball group, or whatever you want to call,
yeah,
it, whatever that group is, that's what you're going to come out of. And,
yep,
for the players, the benefit is, okay, I have a guaranteed contract, this amount of money per month or per season that I get.
Great call.
Winnings on top of it. And for the sponsors, they get access to all those four athletes. Whenever you're training every week, you're setting up the big, you know, pool tents, and you're setting up banners when you're training on the beach, so they're getting some eye time there. And when the teams do well, where they know they're going to get some time on ABC or
yep,
ESPN, that's what it is for the sponsors. And obviously you have to have the right athletes,
no,
who are
question,
going to do well and get on the television, get in the finals. But I think it might be possible.
You know, I think what AVP.com has done, which you were a part of, Dan, as well, you know, doing those play-by-plays and AVP radios, we do those outside matches. It's another way for people to see our players. One problem that I think I've always seen is people only see who's in the final.
Right.
It's not,
yeah,
like other sports,
right,
where you're seeing the games at least. People don't see the games from 9th to 7th on TV. Those are the best games.
Yeah, nobody has a story to follow.
Nobody has a story to follow. So it's like you're used to seeing, oh, there's Jen and April playing Carrie and Misty.
Okay,
I see everybody. There's Phil and Todd playing Sean and John. Well, they didn't see John and Sean play Nick and Brad in the semifinals. So we're finding more avenues to do that, you know, with Universal Sports doing our semifinals. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, KTLA,
mm-hmm,
has signed on to do four events with, you know, the SoCal event. So there's some things happening, but we're always trying to find a way to show those other athletes, because unless you're getting the finals. Well, you're not getting a lot of airtime. That's why AVP.com has been big. You know, we're doing interviews, we're doing features.
How did guys get sponsorships back in the back in the early 90s?
There was so much money going into the sport. There were so many clothing brands. It was high profile. You know, I always use Matt Unger's example because he's one of my best friends, and Kevin Martin and guys like Lee Grant. Those guys made great money sponsorship wise. Yeah. $50,000. And back then, that's a lot of money. So think about it. In 93. I remember Matty O being ranked 26th, but making $100,000 a year.
Right. Exactly. You had even the 40th guy was pulling 94. Down $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now the 40th guy makes $20.
That's it's tough. And there are a lot of people that want to sponsor, but they're like just little dollar amount. Rockstar's come in big. They have a big team of 10, maybe 11 players and
they've
stuff.
They've taken on you.
They have. I'm wearing my shirt today. Finally, I'm on board with them. I've had a few sponsors over the years. Last year, I've had nothing. I've always had Oakley. They've always been great to me it's now my 13th year. I had Chevy 1 year. I got a Tahoe, which was really cool.
Nice.
I got a Tahoe hybrid for free for a year. It was awesome. But Rockstar's come in, giving me a deal. I'll wear their stuff on site. When we do online stuff, I'll be there. But if I'm broadcasting on ESPN, I can't wear a Rockstar shirt. I have to wear the ESPN.
But you've got your stuff on here. Nobody can see it.
Nobody can see it, but I'm rolling it around town. Hey, if it's paying bills, I'm rolling it.
Exactly. Well, I did coach a couple football games this past weekend.
I can't wait to find out how the squad did. And Danny, there's a quote from a neighbor that you have to hear about.
Yeah, it was my kids got picked up for the carpool this morning, and the father that picks them up said, yeah, a buddy of mine said, you're kind of a aggro coach.
Like football, 7 years old.
And I said, oh, really? He was there this weekend. I said, yeah, I did get frustrated.
What does that really mean, Dan? What was that guy really saying to Barney? You're a freak?
Yeah, you're...
You're over the top?
Why are you being a punk with little kids and yelling at little kids?
I'll tell you, yelling at them that they have to block is not over the top.
It's not over
opinion.
The top.
And actually, I felt better because the second day we had games Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
We got beat Saturday 26-6.
At least we put the points on the board.
Did you
my son Max, 5-year-old, youngest kid in the league with a 60-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
See, that's all that matters.
That
not
was
the
awesome.
26-6.
That was awesome.
Were you like yelling in the other coach's face after that?
Yeah, dancing around him. Screaming at him.
Do you yell at refs?
No, I never yell at the refs.
See, I don't think he... What I think the guy meant was, wow, you're really into it.
Here's what was going on. I got upset because... Not upset, but aggravated because it's like we never went to practice. It's as though we have not set anything up ever over the previous 15 practices we've had. We go to the line. You're supposed to line up arm's length from the next guy. Guys are 15 yards apart. I'm like, what's going on here?
Do you think there are dads watching going... Man, these kids just aren't getting any better. Like, are there those dads out there, like with the 6-year-old football player, like the dads that think they know everything
league.
About football and coaching?
It's an interesting league because it's a recruiting league. They don't break teams up. They don't do a draft or anything.
We're
so
recruiting
they keep teams
six and
together.
Seven.
Yes, like you go recruit your neighbors. Say, hey, why don't you come play in the league?
That's
so. We played a team
awful.
On Saturday, the Bears, who had 6 kids who were as tall as my kid and outweigh him by 20 pounds. And my kid's not short.
Yeah,
my kid's tall. And they were just bulldozing us off the line because there's actual blocking. And it's unbelievable. So we're a first-year team. We're up against the wall anyway. But we have zero blocking. We can't even run a handoff. Like, we say hike, we go to hand the ball off. There are two guys draped around the waist of our running back. So for me, it's like, guys, we have to just get in the way of these guys. That's all we have to do. And my guys aren't doing it. I have 2 kids on the team who are, more than 2 kids, really, but at any one moment who are not paying attention. To anything.
I got
to
see this.
I've got to see it, too. Maybe this is where our film crew goes.
Yeah.
Maybe this is...
It might be educational for me. But I definitely showed my frustration. That's true. But I try and stay positive with the kids. Say, hey, guys, I'm out there trying to get better. We're getting better every week. We're playing some pretty good teams.
That's all that matters, man.
I did feel better on Sunday because one of our parents knew another parent and said that parent, they had to have an intervention on this team, the Rams, with the coach. Because he was screaming at kids too much, and they were crying.
See,
we haven't had that happen.
You're
so.
Doing a positive thing. I yelled at a referee this week, but she was a player from another team, because they down ref and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I felt bad. I'd apologize to her, apologize to my buddy who coaches them. It was a bad call, and it was a very intense moment, and I ended up apologizing. I should never yell at a kid, and I did.
Well, see, our league...
I feel bad about it, but I apologized 97 times. I apologized to everybody.
With the recruiting and stuff, I forget... Sometimes, and I think it gets lost, it's supposed to be fun. That's
I know,
the idea.
I know.
It should be fun. They're 6, 7, 5, 8.
I know, dude.
It's supposed to be
hard.
Fun, yet the second day we got waxed 27-0.
Yeah, and it wasn't that fun.
Yeah, not even for the kids. I mean, they said they had a good time, but you get beat 27-0 horribly.
But it's true, man. At that age, though, you don't want to lie. You want to enjoy the process, enjoy learning the game of football. And then when they're in high school, it's about winning.
Yeah, and I said to him afterwards, I said, hey, guys, I don't really care if we win. I actually told him before, too. So I don't care if we win. I care if we just play well. And the thing that we're not doing is we're not even playing as well as we can. Each guy here can play, and we're not doing it. So if you give that message, I think that's a positive message.
When I was 12 years old, Pop Warner, I played for the Chatsworth Chiefs. I still remember losing the championship game. Santa Clarita Warriors 12-7. I remember the guy that dropped the pass that could have won the game, John Hargrave. You remember that stuff. You remembered that stuff.
You made that up.
Are you Facebook friends with John?
27 years. No, we were
in
high school.
Are you holding against him?
No, we ended up going to high school together, and a couple of the other guys that we all grew up together and played together, we ragged him all through high school. I mean, he dropped the pass in about 13 seconds left. Maybe would have won
tragic.
The game.
How old?
We were 11.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a long time ago, bro.
Dan, what have you been doing? I see you're doing CrossFit now. You were telling me about this crazy barbell swinging, old school, like you got the chains attached to the squat bar kind of thing.
Well, it's not chains. No, it's like Rocky workouts, man.
So you're carrying the log up the hill in the snow?
Yeah, pretty
been
much
up in Big
sandbags
Bear?
And jumping on big blocks and doing like a million pull-ups.
Is that why you're not shaving, like Rocky and when he was in Russia?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Right?
Yeah.
When he was fighting Drago?
Dude, if my beard was that cool looking,
if you can change,
I would never
I can change, the world can change. That whole
deal. So what are these workouts all about? Do you think this is working for you? Are you going to get on the tour this year and dominate, or what's
no,
going to happen?
No, I haven't played a lick of all.
You're going to be able to beat some junior girls in co-ed tournaments?
Are you
going to
beat Jane Croson, my best player again, in co-ed?
Dude, I dominated in the finals. Yeah.
How many qualifiers have you played this year?
Maybe 4 or 5.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
I'm not for you.
I'm not going to travel.
You know what's going to be great? Our Monday show after a qualifier that you're in.
We'll have
a full report, Barney.
I kind of lost my mojo because Riverside last year, I was up 14-13 receiving. I got served to get in.
Who was serving? Who
you playing? Daniel Dallin-Yacy and Soren Snyder. And I got blocked. And...
For the win,
I got blocked.
Did you swing away?
I swung. What'd
you
line.
Go, low seam?
I swung
oh,
line.
And he got you?
And
when
he
low
there.
Seam, which you're never supposed to do,
oh,
did you do
the
that?
Dumbest. It was the dumbest. So anyway, I kind of lost my mojo after that. Got into Manhattan, but that was a big one.
Rooney said he'll play with you.
I'm in, dude. Okay, I'm training.
Rooney could get you to the promised land. He could get you.
Rooney could carry Dan at least to the quarterfinal.
Right?
At least
a 17th?
Quarters?
He can give me a 17th. I could beat some of those qualifiers.
For sure. Rooney gets you a 17th.
Yeah, at least.
All right, well, you're in.
Rooney's awesome. Rooney got a fifth, like, in two weeks.
Oh, no, Rooney's been there with, with Louis.
Yeah, he played with Louis back.
Yeah.
I remember seeing
and
him
then
in
he
Boulder.
Played with, by the way, Rooney and Nick Lucena had a great season before Sean went on to play.
I know.
And left for the national team.
Rooney
indoors,
was awesome.
But, yeah, he had a great season with Nick Lucena.
Rooney had
good.
A good thing going. He was living on the Strand.
Yeah, he had
just
a good
hanging
life
out.
At that point.
Yeah, he just got it all set up. He got it all hooked up.
I'd get a 13th with Rooney.
Oh, you're going 13th.
Okay,
now.
Let's
by
put
the end of the show,
mark that
it might
down,
be seven.
And maybe that can happen. We'll follow that up later.
I'll
in
be
summer.
In the best shape of my life. Volleyball will come.
He
easy.
Says he'd get you a seventh.
Seventh.
Seventh. Yeah. I agree with that. I think
Rooney
can carry
training?
You a long way.
Is Rooney training?
What do you mean is Rooney
he
training? He's a professional.
He's a professional volleyball player.
What are you talking about? Right. He has to come and jump around the sand for about 3 days.
You know what's great? If some guy wrote 11th. He'd get you an 11th. I love that line.
The best is like 8th.
Yeah.
It's like
8th.
The even one.
It's good stuff. Now, we had Nick Loon on the show last week.
Yes.
When we come back from break, I want you to put a little thought into this. Think about it. Did you have a chance to listen to it? Did you have a chance to hear what Nick had to say on our show? And
yeah,
you know Nick.
It, yeah.
Okay. I want to get a reaction from you, Geeter, as to you know the direction the AVP is headed, what Nick had to say. Good stuff like that. We are also going to be coming back with Heather Bound. She should be on the line shortly, directly from Italy. We will be right back. Here on the Net Live with Heather Bound and Alan Knipe coming up later. Trivia, as always, and two questions. Dan, we're going to get to two questions today.
Please.
We will get there.
We need two questions.
We will discuss
music.
It. It's coming up next. Thanks for joining us here on the Net Live, 347-677-1525, if you want to be on with us.
Barney, where's the commercial break?
It's right here. I started a little early, baby.
No, bro.
There it is. See you soon.
All right.
that, Jeff.
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, "Sweet pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever."
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Welcome back into the Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com.
I love getting reactions out of the people.
Heather Bounce coming up next in just a second. We have one comment to make. You just referred to Geeter. Referred to gold medalist Scott Tuzinski as some guy.
Which is awesome. But I just read the, they would get an 11th comment. I didn't really look that it was Scott, or else I would have said, you know. So I do feel bad, Scott.
Some guy. So some they get 11. Guy. Some guy. Scott Tuzinski. He's just some
I
guy.
I guess from here on out, Rooney and the boys are just going to call him some guy.
Scott's going to come out and play on the beach, then you might know who he is.
I know who Scott is.
All right, our first guest of today is Olympic silver medalist, longtime national team member, and a pivotal part of the success that the women had in 2008.
I love her.
Oh, she's a terrific player, great person. Heather Baun, welcome.
Wow.
Live in the net.
Hi, guys.
Love listening to your intro every Monday.
Heather, question number one is, why do you keep messing up our podcast name every single time we start the show?
You know what about that, though? Reed, when he first asked me, and he's like, "Can you do this call-in and whatever?" I did, five different takes, and then my dad heard that and calls me in Italy and is laughing at me because he's like, "Can't you do anything right? Like, you go and you screw it up." And I'm like, out of all the ones I did, Reed has to pick that one. Yeah, it's not my fault.
Actually, my wife who listens to the show, she made the comment, I really like Heather's introduction because
people
her
like
laugh
it.
Is
people
so
like
genuine
it.
Afterwards that it's just...
Because I'm an idiot. I can't even do it right. It's the easiest thing to say. And I was like, okay, I can do it. Like, practicing, do the take, screw it up. I'm like, you're not putting par for life on me.
Well, we love it. Par for life. You seem to have had quite a bit of success in the world of volleyball. You've been on the national team for how many years now is it going on?
I think my first thing with them was when I was still at Hawaii was in 99. I did World University Games when they went to Spain. That was my first trot with them. So about 10 years, 11 years now.
Were you heading back to doing it?
You're not old.
Just old in volleyball, not old in life. You get outside of volleyball, you're
right.
I'm not that old.
Well, I think it's just the bubble of volleyball keeps you young.
Definitely, definitely. You're heading back this year with head coach Hugh McCutcheon. Will you be returning to the national team?
Yeah, he was actually just out here in Italy. He saw myself play Lindsay Berg, who's the setter for our team. I played against her in an Italian league match, and he was out here, and we kind of went over the scheduling for the summer and trying to figure out what tournaments are good for us to kind of work with. And, it's just I'm out here till the end of May, so as soon as I get back, just kind of get thrown into the mix. The girls are already out there training in Anaheim. I'm looking forward to it. I knew last summer was the time that I could take off and have some free time, and from here on out, I'm in the gym, so looking forward to it.
Hey, Heather, it's Geeter. I was in Beijing, and I went to one of your matches. I think you guys played Italy, and you guys were down big. And
you got a good one.
Yeah. Actually, Lindsay came in that game and sparked you guys. But at what point because I followed you guys the rest of the time but didn't get to go to the matches. At what point did you think that that might be a special run with that squad?
You know, I honestly, I was roommates with Logan, and we would talk, like, after every match and just be like, okay, you know, got one down, next one to go. And I don't really think we ever thought about the outcome of it, like, the result. We just, one of our key things with the whole team, like, even when we had meetings before the games and stuff, and it was always really just focusing on the process of it, not so much on the result of it. And I think that really helped us just to go game to game to game, and whoever was on the court and with us, you know, like you said, Bergie came in and did her job, you know, against Italy and really got us on that run. I think it was like 7-0 or something ridiculous. But I don't think there was ever a moment where we were like, oh my God, we're going to win, until we were in, you know, in the finals where you're guaranteed a medal, and we were just like, oh my gosh, this is like the best time ever. But going through it and each game to game, I don't think there was anybody that really ever said, you know, oh, we're guaranteed. Because you're never guaranteed anything when you're there. You know, you have to work every game for it. And, you know, we just, I think as a team and as individual players, we're just really focused on the process of the whole thing.
You hit on the key word for me, Heather, and that's process. I coach girls club volleyball, and I'm always trying to hammer that home to parents and kids, because I think these days everyone just wants – it has to be a win, and it has to be all about this moment, but people don't let the process go. How key is that for a team to be able to let a process happen?
Well, I think it's huge, because I think a lot of the times if you continue to win, you don't really see the character of your team, and you don't see the character of your players. You don't see what they're going to learn from a loss, because losing isn't always bad. And I think that's one thing in our society and in sports in general is, you know, kids are taught, you know, if you don't win, you're not good. Well, that's not true, because you're going to get better as you go on. You know, it's the hard losses, and whether it's in sports or in life or whatever it's in, that's when you're really going to learn about yourself and about the people that are there with you. And, you know, and that's all in the process, because you can't focus on, I'm going to win, I'm always going to win, because it just ruins it. And I think you really grow as a person, as an athlete, as a group. You know, you're not, especially with volleyball, you can't, it's not an individual sport. You have to be a team. And you're not going to learn that trust that you need to have in that person next to you to know, you know, are they going to go for that ball? Or no, I can get that ball. Or, you know, and how to just build up as a team. And I think that's where I mean, I'm not a coach. I don't know. And I have my players that I play with, my teammates and stuff, but then maybe they think, you know, I've been around long enough that I know what I'm talking about, and so they can listen to me, and it's kind of like a coach-player type thing. But for me, I don't know that there's enough coaches out there that really emphasize the fact that it's about learning. It's not always about winning. And if you can, you know, you could have a losing season, but you can still win out of it. And I think that's one thing that they really need to focus on, especially with kids these days. Like, it's not always about, you know, taking home the gold, but it's about striving for that and working hard and working together. And whether it's in sports or whether it's after you're done playing sports and you go into the real world and you're working in a job, you're always going to have to work with the team. And if you can get that basis down, I think you'll be set for life.
Heather, when you're working and learning and going through that process of team building on the national team, obviously it's easier. You're all like-minded. You have similar experiences, but what changes when you bring that process to your Italian team where you are now, where you have a group of players, superstars from different countries brought together along with young Italians? What's been your experience there, and what special things need to be done to make that successful and build that same type of camaraderie on a team of not a homogenous group of players?
Yeah, it's a lot different when you're out here. I mean, you have, let alone, you know, when you're on the national team and you have girls coming from different philosophies from their college teams or whatever and coming in and trying to get together on the national team. But, like, over here, you don't only have different philosophies. You have completely different cultures. And, you know, getting girls to really understand, because just your way of saying things and doing things is so much different. Like, myself as an American, I know that we're very independent people, and, you know, they're not so much as Italians, or, you know, I play with a Russian girl, and the rest are all Italians. For me this year, it's a little bit easier, and they know me. I've been around for a while, but, you know, it's hard to kind of get your points across and really understand and just how they've been raised, and, you know, they don't do, and it's not a knock on them, but they don't really do the university college thing, whereas we have that, so we get a little bit of time to grow and mature and really figure out who we are, whereas they're here and they're doing, you know, volleyball from like 15 years old. They're living on their own. They're not doing school. They're just playing sports. And Yeah, I don't know. It's good because I think there's a little bit more trust because you know you're thrown into, you know, at least here in Italy with the level, and every week you have to play tough games, and so you really have to learn to trust the people next to you on the court, and you have to learn to trust your staff and everything. You just have to. It's more of a blind trusting. You know, but the process is never easy, and it'll go up and down. You'll see a lot of teams that struggle at the beginning of the year, and they'll grow as a team, and they'll get better, and then by the end, which is when you want to peak, like a lot of teams will be good, and you'll have some that'll go up and down during the season. And, you know, my team here, we still make a lot of errors, and, you know, you're not always going to play good every week. And that's one thing that I've seen a lot of girls that come from other countries and come into Italy is they can't handle, you know, not only physically but mentally, they can't handle playing hard every week. And I think that's one thing with a lot of the girls here that they've really become adjusted to is being able to force themselves mentally and physically every week. And I think that helps us as far as growing as a team.
Well, you're listening to the Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. We're talking to Heather Bound from Italy, U.S. national team silver medalist. Heather, I wanted to ask you about the system. You mentioned it there in Europe where the kids don't go to school. They don't have school teams. They're just playing professional. Given your experience through the college ranks and then playing with a lot of these players in Europe, what do you think is the better system, the professional European system or the college model, the American side?
You know, I think for as far as, you know, having the pipeline, so to speak, of playing, it's hard because I'm based on, you know, the educational system, and I think that's great, and I think it helps you in the long run. And you make, I think as athletes, we make better decisions because we have the basis of education. You know, not to say that these people here are ignorant or anything, but I think that as far as volleyball-wise, it's better that they, you know, play professional because they're playing at high levels at young ages. Whereas us, I mean, you really don't get to international play until you're, you know, early 20s. You know, 23, 24, whenever you graduate college, because before that you're in the NCAA or whatever. I think it benefits them in a volleyball standpoint, but I think that the mental side of the game I think is a little less strategic with them here because they don't think. Because for me, like a volleyball match is sort of like a chess match. Like you always have to know or expect or anticipate what the other person's going to do. If you have this shot, what are they going to come back at you at? And I see that in our practices and in our games. Like they don't read that. And for me, and I don't know if that's just, you know, experience of being here or just mentally, like cognitively, I can see that. And I just feel like they miss out on that a little bit because they don't have to think about that side of the game. They just play because they've always played.
We have an interesting question from Dan. He has a problem, Heather, that you need to help him.
Oh. Dan, I don't know if I can help. I'll try.
Go ahead, Dan.
Sounds exactly like the opening. I enjoyed reading your blog during the 2008 Olympics. It was awesome. And I liked it so much that I friended you on Facebook and you never responded to my Facebook request.
Oh, you've been left in purgatory.
Wow. I was ignored, but, you know, I still remember this. And,
oh, dear.
Dan would like to know why.
What's up?
Why?
What, is the question why you were not befriended?
Yeah.
Yeah, he requested it.
Except...
I don't know. Was it on the volleyball, like the Heather Bound volleyball page? Because that's automatic.
Nah, I don't know. It was like 2 years ago.
Heather, he tried to be your friend, and you said no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
Covered. He's grown a beard.
So.
Just to hide his name.
He has a beard?
Oh, God. You should see
I'm
the guy.
I'm a weep.
Yeah.
You remember Rocky in Rocky IV when he was training?
Or the Brawny Man.
Or the Brawny Man.
Anyone with a beard.
Oh, dude. Maybe I was scared of the beard. Maybe that was it.
It's just weird because I saw him like 3 days ago and he didn't have a beard. And now it's like, but it's like a full grown man's beard.
Yeah, you need to have a less creepy looking Facebook picture and then maybe you'll get more friends.
Kenneth grabbed it one time and it was
Heather, do you think the club girls volleyball season is too long like I do?
When did it go till? Because before it used to go, what, November to July?
Oh, yeah. Same
December
same
to
thing.
July. Yeah.
Same thing. And then you go right
is
down.
It the same?
Yeah.
I don't know because they don't play every weekend, do they?
Oh, now they do. Now there's qualifiers, get into JOs, and then there's your mandatories. It's not every weekend, but it sure is a lot.
Well, they have like 18 million young people that play the game. So, I mean, I guess to accommodate all the people, they have to have the tournaments or something. But, I mean, that is pretty long, especially when you're, you know, in school and doing that kind of stuff with the traveling. It just gets expensive for the parents, I think, more than anything. I don't think the girls mind it because it's kind of like a social outlet. But I think for the parents, it can get pretty pricey.
We were talking about the wear out part of it for the kids, that they burn out mentally or burn out physically a little bit earlier, and you've been at this internationally for 11 years. I mean, how are you doing physically, and how much longer do you plan to continue? What was your youth experience like? Do you have any of those concerns now, or what's it like for you 11 years into a pro career?
I know that like most of the girls that I played college with no longer play, but I didn't start playing volleyball until my junior year in high school. So I started really, really late. So my burnout, I mean, I still... And I was just telling my friend this the other day, like, I know I'll still play until the day comes that I either don't have fun or I don't feel like I need to learn anything more. And that day hasn't come yet. But, I mean, like, going back, like, when I talk to my friends from college and even girls that I played club ball with in high school that no longer play, you know, they played through their college careers and then, you know, whether it wasn't they didn't have because there's no league in the States or they didn't go to the national team or they didn't want to go, you know, to Puerto Rico or overseas or whatever, that they just decided to move on. But I still love it. I still have a lot of fun. And, you know, being here in Italy, I do it because the level's high, so it keeps me in shape for the national team. But I mean, talking with some friends and stuff, like I'd really start to, like, look around and see other countries and kind of experience other things because I know, you know, I'm 32 this year. Oh, makes me feel
You're
old.
A prime
but,
rate.
I mean,
well, you're going out a lot at
yeah.
night. 4 years. You're in your prime.
I'm not. I used to be able to, and now I'm like, gosh, I go out one night, it takes me like a week to recover. It's pathetic. But yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe like another 4 or 5 years for me over here, and then I just, you know, I miss America. I'm gone all the time, and I miss my family and my friends, and I just feel like I'm missing out on everything that's going on at home. And it's like my friend that had asked me about the basketball brackets for March Madness, and I was like, I don't even know what teams are in it. I couldn't even. I'm like, I'll just be giving you my money because I have no idea what's going on. And but yeah, I'd say maybe another like 5 years max.
Well, Heather, we appreciate you joining us here on the Net Live. We'll get you out of here on this. If you had to go out for one meal in Italy, what is it and where is it?
If I had to go out for a meal?
Yeah, if you're going to go eat a nice meal, what's it going to be?
Oh, well, now that the weather's been nicer, I like to go to the sea and have a fish lunch because they have like fresh fish and you can sit and like there's tables in the sand and you put your toes in the sand. Awesome. So a little fresh fish lunch with some white wine, not a bad deal.
Is that going to be in Ancona or Falconara? Is that because you're in Jesi this year? Correct?
It's actually Senigallia. I'm just outside of Jesi, so it's in Senigallia because that's pretty much the closest one. We go down there when you know because it's. Supposedly springtime now. It rained today, but once the sun comes out and it gets nice, the people start getting outside, and my teammates will go down there between practices and take a little sun, have a little lunch, and just kind of relax. So it's a nice deal.
Nice,
awesome.
Heather, well, hey. Keep feasting. That's all I got to say to you.
Smiling. You what?
Just keep feasting. Just keep feasting.
Heather, thanks so much for joining us here on the Net Live. We appreciate you calling in. And
my pleasure.
Look forward to seeing you on the national team shortly.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Take it easy. Bye.
You should get a new one of the Danny Kind shirts. Just keep feasting.
Keep feasting.
Yeah,
okay.
That'll
be
so
after
much.
The Spike Town one, after the Nectar one.
Yeah.
After, yeah.
Well, get them going, buddy.
Everybody's got T-shirt ideas for you,
yep.
Don't they?
Oh, yeah, mine's great, though.
I thought Heather had some great things to say about.
She's
Kimberly.
Cool, by the way.
Oh, I love.
I mean,
Heather.
I know you know her.
Oh, she's
well,
one
I don't
of the
know her
coolest
personally.
Kids.
Just obviously, the great volleyball player. But
she is super
good
cool. Super cool. I had a good chat with her before the 08 games, and if you watch the 08 games, it was not a foregone conclusion that team was going to do anything. They struggled through the whole pool play.
That's when I saw
they were
in that
terrible.
Terrible. Just a couple games in Italy, they
couldn't pass.
Yeah.
They couldn't pass. Cuba crushed them 3-0.
Crushed them.
They almost lost, I think it was Venezuela.
Lindsey Berg.
Oh, nightmare.
She did catch fire
but
that match.
They hung with it. They stuck in there. They kept working on their process, you heard Heather talk about. And they played their best volleyball when it mattered in that quarterfinal, semifinal,
yep.
on into the gold medal match. It was some really terrific volleyball that they played. They came together as a group. There were some really neat performances from Lindsey Bird,
yeah,
and from a couple of other players who would come in. Kim, her name's escaping me right now.
Willoughby
came in and just hit some amazing balls through a match. And really, once the passing finally came around, they could start to utilize Heather and Danielle Scott-Ahuda, who were that's where the power was in that offense.
Yep.
And once the passing came around with Nicole Davis and Logan Tom getting the ball up to the center, boy, they were just tremendous in the middle.
That was a nice run.
I mean, I remember saying during the games, you had to set the middle 40 times. If they were going to win, you'd need to set the middle 40 times. And they would do it. You know, they'd get 20 attempts to Heather, 20 to Danielle Scott. And, boy, they really had terrific, fun Olympic Games. And it was great to see those ladies.
Good analyst by you, buddy. Good job.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm angling for that AVP
position.
I know.
I like that.
I got to somehow steal a gold medal.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just put it on my resume. I'll just stick it on my resume and pretend that I actually have one. See if anyone checks.
See if you can borrow one of the boys. Scotty, some guy.
Some guy. Oh, some Reed. Guy might have one. Yeah. I'll talk to some guy. He's
Hampton
got one in the box
boys,
somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get to two questions real quick here. Let's talk a little bit about two questions.
Finally. I don't even have two questions anymore because one of mine was outdated.
Okay. Well,
both of mine are outdated.
Well, forget you then. Let's go to my two questions. Right. My first one, who's better at volleyball, Shaq or Goose from Top Gun?
I'm going to go with Shaq because he's a better entertainer.
Okay.
Goose and Slider and all those guys were just complete hacks when you watch. And you just go watch that scene again. I mean, it's really incredible. No arm swing.
Slider rips
Shaq,
the net down.
Yeah, Slider rips the net down. Just complete retards. But Shaq at the Hermosa. Misty and Carrie versus Shaq and Todd Rogers.
Yeah.
Yes, he was awful, but as he says, he's the black crab because he gets down in the sand. I mean, he would just throw balls, but the athleticism, I'd have to go with Shaq over Goose. Great question.
I'm going
to
say that Shaq looked just like my father, who was a basketball player, 6'8", long arms. I took him to play volleyball like the YMCA one time when I started playing. Played exactly the same. They're half dunking the ball. They're taking off one foot everywhere.
Yeah.
No idea
Amazing.
What to do.
No idea.
I'm going Goose because he, you know, that scene, he looked pretty cool playing volleyball.
I know, but I need you to rewatch it. I need you to go really rewatch
you know
and dissect it. Have you ever seen Tom Cruise throw the baseball in what was that War of the Worlds movie?
Oh, my gosh.
He can't
is
throw
the
baseball?
Worst athlete pound
actors
for
actors are not athletes.
In
actors
America.
Are not athletes. Think about actors. What were the actors doing? They're hanging out behind stage, dressing in black.
Dude, I don't care. You don't throw
athletes.
With the right and step
you
with
gotta,
the right.
You
Your
gotta...
dad's got to teach you. And if there's no dad, then someone else. Your nanny, somebody. It pisses me off. You don't throw and step with the right, bro.
Well,
you just
you
don't
a,
do it.
You
Marty.
Need a technical consultant on these
And
things.
If I see a kid in your flag football team doing that, I'm going to have some problems.
You're welcome to come to a game.
Agro fan.
Agro Barnett. All right, so, Geeter, question.
Yes.
Go for it.
Is March Madness the best sporting event to watch? If you had to watch March Madness or the Super Bowl, what we do? And if you're
Super
saying
Bowl.
No, I want to know what's better.
Super Bowl.
Really?
I'm going Super Bowl. Yeah, or Supercross.
Don't.
Come on, I got to work it into the show somehow.
Don't do that.
No, I don't. I can't. I've never been a fan of college basketball. I've always loved pro basketball.
What?
I enjoy the NBA Finals. I just haven't. There's too much to follow in college. It's just not.
Yeah, but you only have to follow one game. Like,
I
NBA, you've got
three weapons, but
it's man.
Yeah.
You know, for guys with drinking problems and gambling problems like myself, it's the greatest 3 weeks in sports. The Super Bowl is just lead. There's a two-week lead up, and then there's one game. But a guy that can just sit around and you know, have a couple beers with the boys and watch game after game after game, and you're betting, and Texas A&M versus Purdue, and Morgan State and these teams are, you know, hitting buzzer beaters. I'm sorry, but
that's where it's at for you guys.
Well, we're not talking about one game to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Summer Olympics.
Ooh,
I like that.
That's
like,
a good one.
It's 2 weeks of just
that's a good
amazing,
one.
Amazing, just amazing broadcasting. Just like seeing all these crazy sports that you don't see.
That might be the smartest thing you've ever said on this show
Thank
in my
you.
6 weeks.
Thank you.
I like that you picked something besides beach volleyball. You had a little broader
I'm thinking
scope.
About it.
And I apologize for getting mad at you with the Supercross comment because you're allowed to have your. I
get beat up for my motocross comments
like,
all the time. It's okay.
By the way, I've been
to put it
Anaheim.
On.
They're really cool live.
It's awesome. It's absolutely. I'll put it on right now. I still have to watch it from this past weekend in Dallas, Texas.
Thank goodness.
All right, I want to get one more here. We have about a minute. Can volleyball be played to a single game score, like 90-85 after four quarters or two halves or something? Can we abandon we played a 14, we played a 21, we played a 30, we played a 25, we played a 15, we played a 7? Can we get rid of all that?
Really? That would be interesting. Like 101-97.
It's a running
score.
People make a run. You go down by 10, up by 10. Can that happen? So, quick, 20 seconds.
Yeah, because you just eliminate the, you know, the
So is it a timed
time.
Event again? Does it
yeah,
become
a timed
event?
There's a serve
rally
clock.
Rally scoring time event.
Serve clock. Rally
you
score.
You can serve at, whenever the ball gets hits the ground, you can just get to the end line and just serve it.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for the other team to get ready.
Well, yeah, you can't run, but yeah, the team has to be set.
Do you think it'd be more exciting?
To work
Do you
on
think
it.
That would be easier for people
it'd be
to
easier for people to become a fan of, I think. Right really? Now, nobody knows what you play to or how long it is.
It'd be an endurance
yeah.
sport.
No, it'd be great. I think it would be good. I think it's a good idea. We should try it. Maybe we'll get Dan out there with some junior girls to check it
Fine.
Out. See if you can see them. All right, you're listening to The Net Live, thevolleyballnetwork.com. Thanks a lot for being here. We have Alan Knipe coming up next. Hang in there. Boom! I like that
Love
intro. Love coming back. 347-677-1525. We have 630 calling in. I know that's an Illinois number.
You do
What's
know
up,
that,
Kevin? It's Jake.
Jake Rosenthal. No, wrong guy. Jake Mattern.
What's up, man?
From Illinois. Jake, you're our web troll guy. Get out there and throw out the lines. Put some stuff up on the website. Jake, how you doing?
Not bad at all. I just wanted to make a comment about you guys, the conversation you guys have kind of been having off and on about the girls' season.
Yes.
For club.
Yeah, you're a club.
It's just the one thing I always, you guys have actually talked about this a few episodes or a few of the other times on the webcast. The one thing I always think that I always feel we seem to keep forgetting is that I feel so much of it is based on the colleges. That's
yeah.
why I feel it becomes so long. The season's become so long because I almost feel as if the colleges demand that much training. We have players in the club that I coach for that are being looked at by some of the top colleges in the nation as a freshman, and they're already being invited down to those colleges to talk to the coach, to practice with the team, meet the girls, things like
right.
that, and
right.
a majority of those girls, they won't even see when they get down there. And I just question, I agree with you in that I think it would be great if you could shorten the season for trying to not burn players out, but I almost question what's going to happen on the college end standpoint of are the coaches going to be upset and are they going to go
yeah.
other venues to
yeah.
finding players?
Okay, Jake, thanks for your comment. That's a good jumping off point. Appreciate you calling in.
You know, it's funny that I had that in my notes that I was writing about club volleyball, why it's long,
mm-hmm.
is it because of colleges? And he makes a great point. These girls are being seen at a really young age.
Right.
The thing is, there's also NCAA dead period times, you know, where the NCAA could work with club volleyball and, you know, college coaches can't recruit till a certain time anyways, and I'm not sure what it is. We'll have to ask one of the college coaches. But, you know, that January could be a period where – everyone's off.
Well, he's right, though. The colleges are pushing it. And you see this internationally,
too,
because we've commented.
Wanted to be lesser, too.
But
they got to come to these tournaments.
But they want the girls to be better. That's the comment.
True.
They want the girls to be better. And you're looking at a freshman, and you're trying to bank on the fact that they're going to play how much volleyball over the next 3 years, How good are they going to get? And you want that kid to play, not do anything else because you want them as a volleyball athlete. So it doesn't give them a chance to be a three-sport athlete or do some other sports, take some time off, all those other things, because there's that pressure to achieve a level to get that Division I scholarship at a particular school. So if you set that goal as a freshman or as an eighth grader, that's a lot of pressure for a kid to be under to say, hey, I have to train for the next 4 years. But if you're not getting recruited till you're a junior and you're not exposed to that possibility, I think there's less pressure for those first couple of years.
Let me tell you guys what's kind of been happening now with some universities, and there's a girl on my team who might go do it. They're now leaving their spring semester of their senior year to go to those schools. They enroll and they go through spring practice with those universities, a lot like they do in college football.
Yeah,
I was a little bit floored by it just because I hadn't heard it going on in women's college volleyball, but I talked to Eric Sullivan about it at Nebraska. I've talked to Jared about it at Texas, and it's starting to happen, and it just kind of shocked me.
And internationally, too, it's the same problem. There's a lot of complaints about the college system and the limitations placed on the training and the fact that you get athletes coming to the international game who are ill-prepared to play. They can't play back row because of the rules in college, especially on the women's side. You have middles who have never served or played back row, so they haven't done two-thirds of the game. And they come to the international game where they're going to have to serve and play back row during a rotation.
They have to have ball control.
And they're absolutely ill-equipped to be in the game immediately. They can't contribute. Now, you're talking about a very small amount of players joining the national team, but you do hear those complaints between the two. So it's an interesting problem with youth sports, and I think at some point you have to set a hard deadline of February 1 and say nothing's happening before that.
What do we, no college signing, on, no recruiting, on here, can no we nothing. Ask them that question?
Love
from
to.
From here on out.
Love to.
Every college coach gets that question at least.
Yeah, we
so
have.
I just want to hear all their opinions on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things involved in trying to change those aspects of the game. I think there's a lot of different parties who have a stake in it, club owners, players, parents, the universities, obviously. There's a lot of folks who have a lot to lose or a lot to gain based on the performance of these kids who many times, when you're talking about freshmen, you're talking about 14-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. I mean, come on. It's too much pressure for these young kids. Let them be kids for another couple of years and have fun and enjoy playing, and then let's focus after junior year. You know, that signing period and stuff and the verbal commitments and the you hear about Lane Kiffin and USC and getting that kid who's, what, 13 or something, verbal commitment. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's an arms race, and it has to stop somewhere.
Ooh.
Yeah?
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Arms race?
Yeah. And you said it, just kind of looked away, and you meant business.
I've got other places to go. We've got important stuff to do here. We are excited to be joined by our second guest.
Oh, is he here?
He's here.
Ah,
he's
old
in the queue.
Dear friend of mine.
I'm going to pull him up. Alan Knight, U.S. Men's National Team head coach.
He and I dominated Tulsa together back in 94.
You did not.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we did. Tulsa. Yes, we did. Team Paul Mitchell won the gold.
Oh, my goodness. Alan, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. And it's unbelievable to have Geeter there, the best setter Nationals has ever seen.
Was hoping for backup setter.
Yeah, one of our questions I was going to have these guys ask was, who is the best backup setter of all time in the history of Nationals?
But you went setter. Oh, he's got to feel good about that.
And the reason why, and Alan will back me on this, is every year we had a great setter who was way better than me, but we'd go out and rage. They would be so hungover, like John Wallace, sorry to say it, Johnny, and I would have to set a morning match. And I told Barney, I was about 7-0 in those matches, Alan.
There's no doubt. Your winning percentage is better than any setter we've ever had.
I appreciate that. 7-0 over a course of a life.
Yeah, when picking a picture for the website for your interview, Alan, I did go back and found like a Team Paul Mitchell picture with the goatee flowing and all kinds of good stuff. We did go national team, though, current job rather than ancient history.
Yeah, that's good because if I grew the goatee out now, it would be white.
Oh, bro.
Well, Alan, let's get to it. Your second year, just about to begin. You're 1 year into your tenure as national team head coach on the men's side. Grade your staff and yourself over the last year.
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably about a B. You know, I think we can be better. I think we will be. I think we're much better prepared of about just about what we're about to take on when it comes to World League and the kind of the updated international game, and more importantly, our own personnel and what our guys can do and what they're capable of doing. And we probably won't end up dealing with some of the things that we dealt with last summer, getting on board real late, having some guys that weren't going to be with us, have some guys that were dinged up or not able to be with us for the majority of the summer, and really just being real reactive for the first half of the summer. I think we could be a lot more proactive of where we want to go this summer.
Well, when talking about being reactive or assessing the previous year, talk about what you learned about your team in the last match of the year against Cuba, which was to qualify to go to Grand Champions Cup.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, it didn't surprise me that we struggled in some areas where we were definitely an all-star team at that tournament. We had all the guys back at their club teams, and a lot of the guys showed up and met us in Puerto Rico and didn't train. All we did is get out there and start playing pool play. And actually, some of the guys from Russia showed up the day of our first match. So I would have liked to see us play a little better. I knew it was going to be a tough go to play at the level we were hoping at. But I thought some of the issues that we dealt with was just being able to maintain a level of pressure from the end line in our block and defense. I don't think we served very well. Our transition game, we hit in the matches that mattered. We were under 200 in transition, and that's not going to get a whole lot done for you for point scoring. And, you know, we struggled to side out consistently. You know, we were in the mid-60s, and that's not going to get a lot done. So we were better than that at times. We were better than that in World League. We weren't great in the World League finals, but there were times, and like anything, we got to be able to stretch it out over a longer period of time. We got to be able to side out longer. We got to cut down our errors, especially from the end line, some unforced errors. We got to scrap a little bit more than we probably did against Cuba, and we got to play a better brand of volleyball for a longer period of time. And I think when we get these guys in the gym this summer and have a little bit more time with them and everybody on the same page, I think we can do that.
You're listening to the Net Live with Alan Knipe. Alan, your focus in your first off season, was it on scouting the opponent? Was it on your personnel, your assistant coaches, or just getting to know the national team logistically? What was the focus for you?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of everything. I think we had to back up and probably do some things that probably should have been done prior to last summer, but just getting on board when we didn't have time to do. So kind of going back and reassessing ourselves, we put together a real extensive report on ourselves, on our program, and where we're going, what happened last year, and where we're going this summer and each year after that, hopefully. And so I think a lot of time was spent with that. We were done with that somewhere around the new year, and we started working that once we got home from Norseca's in October. Once we knew our pools for World League, obviously we could start preparing for World League and contacting and communication with the guys to find out who's going to be on board with us and who's going to be back when, and start doing some planning for training and putting some staffs together for the upcoming summer that we didn't have the luxury of doing ahead of time last summer.
Yep, you're leading me to my next question. You know, what's it looking like for your staff this summer and on through London? What are the goals for that staff?
Yeah, I think that right now the way it kind of works for us is we won't be hiring another second assistant until next summer. That's kind of the earliest when we have funding for that. But it kind of works in our favor. We are going to have some guys around the summer who will help us. I know Carl McGowan's going to be in the gym a little bit. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is Vrnovich going to be
alive? No, he's leading mountain expedition. He's climbing this year.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I'd love to have Greg in the gym. He unfortunately he tried to get up on top of Everest last year to finish some of his goals he had in climbing, and the government closed that down, and he got to do Losi instead. But I know he still wants to check Everest off his list. So I think that's kind of his number one priority this spring. But it's not going to surprise me at all to see Greg in the gym helping us train. He's pretty special.
Gotcha.
But some other guys with, you know, we're excited to have Carl McGowan come in and really help us with our blocking defense. Jeff Stork is going to be in the gym to spend some time with our setters. Ron Larson's coming with us on our first trip, and hopefully we're going to have John Sparrow join us on a few trips at the end of World League and maybe the World League finals. So I really like where the staff's going. We're going to try to bring the consultant coach. We're going to try to rotate through a few different people. And then as we're going towards London, of course, we're looking for that guy who's going to be with us each and every day on every trip. Who that guy is, we have a list, but we really haven't been able to nail it down yet.
Well, with the guys you mentioned, a lot of experience there internationally, coaching over the last few years, consulting with the national team. Is your knowledge of the competition where it needs to be this year, or are a lot of those guys being brought in to help with some of that?
Well, I think it's probably both. I think it would be naive for me to say that in 1 year getting back into the international game, I'm where I'm at, you know, where I want to be at. I'm definitely not where I want to be at. So what I want to make sure is as I continue to do everything I can to be the best coach of this team I can, I want to make sure that the guys don't, you know, don't suffer in any way at all. If we can bring in experience and you can't ever make up for that, then let's bring these guys in and make sure that we're the best we possibly can be.
Well, describe your approach then to the first event of the year. You're starting in World League. Your pool is Russia, Finland, and Egypt. What do you know about those teams? What areas are you looking to exploit?
Yeah, well, you know, the last time we played these guys in the World League Finals when we played Russia, we put very little pressure on them from the end line. We, as I said before, our transition was pretty poor. We hit around zero. And for the most part, the only guy that for the both games in the World League Finals that really provided numbers and consistency was probably David Lee. So we're excited to have Ryan Millar back with us. He'll be on that trip. We're real excited to have Reed coming off of a year in Russia again where he's seen a lot of these guys. That's going to help us in that 0-1 spot tremendously where our rotation one kind of struggled last year. And Reed helps us in a lot of ways, left side blocking and serve receive and just court presence. So, you know, when we're playing Russia, though, we're going to have to create some point scoring situations, and a lot of those won't come just flat out on aces since that's not how we play. But we're going to have to be good in our system, create some 2-point passes, turn some balls in trans, and obviously hit a lot higher than zero. As far as side out percentage, we can't be in the mid 60s against a team like that. I'm pretty sure that Ryan can help with that on first ball side out, and I definitely know having a healthy Riley, a healthy Matt Anderson, hopefully not a dinged up Rooney who had to carry a lot of the load for us last year, and Clay, hopefully he's coming back, and he was pretty dinged up from Russia last year as well. Hopefully we can get those side out numbers over 70, because when we're going to play Russia and we're going to beat those guys, we'll come down to being able to grind it out over the long haul, and grind it out isn't just effort. It's execution, siding out at a higher number, turning balls in trans, and being smart, not having a lot of unforced hitting errors, and be willing to win the 4 or 5-game matches.
You're listening to the Net Live, talking to head coach Alan Knipe. Alan, you mentioned Matt Anderson in that conversation as one of the new young guys. Of course, a big jumper out of Penn State. It was his first season on the national team last year, cut short by illness. Tell us a little bit about his health. We've heard varying things about the diet he keeps and the party hours and the workouts. I mean, this is a guy who has tremendous potential. Has there been discussion about how to get the best out of this guy? What needs to be done to change him on the court, but maybe his lifestyle?
Yeah, I think that he's in a situation that's no different than a lot of young guys when they join this team, and that is, you know, they're no longer have a lot of other distractions like school when they're a volleyball player in the NCAA, and they have a lot of time on their hands away from the hours a day that we train, and they got to make sure that the decisions they're making on and off the court are in the best interest of themselves and the best interest of this team. And is Matt the only guy in that situation? Probably not. And has he gotten, you know, tremendously better? I would believe so. I think he learned a lesson. There's no way I'm going to say that his off-court decision-making led to what happened, but as I like to ask any of these guys who get in these situations, are they 100% sure they did everything they could off the court to make sure these kinds of things didn't happen? And Matt's maturing and had a rough year, there's no doubt, with pneumonia, and he was starting with us. It took him out of the World League. Actually, it took him out the rest of summer. Getting over to playing his team in Korea and not being 100% physically. And then, unfortunately, Matt also lost his dad this past winter. And it's been a tough go for Matt. But I think the sky's the limit for the kid. He's got a great arm. He's got real good demeanor on the court. He hits the fast tempo ball out of the front row, back row. It doesn't matter, right side, left side of the court. He's a pretty good left side blocker. And remember, I mean, there's not a lot of guys we have in men's volleyball that forego a year of eligibility to go play professionally. So when Matt was out there playing World League, he also, you know, he could have been playing for Penn State. So he's a pretty young guy out there. So I have a lot of hopes for Matt to really bring some athleticism and some just all-around dynamic play to that position and help have some depth.
Alan, my intel that keeps me so dialed in the day-to-day of the sport of volleyball tells me that the 22-man roster is due today for World League. Is that true? Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, you know, it's the World League roster. We're working on that, and that's I can't really get too far into that now. But I will say that we have a lot of for the first time we have probably more guys in each position. That's going to create some depth, and it's also going to create some tough discussions with some guys probably, and that's okay. With adding guys back in there like Reed and Ryan. You know, those guys go pretty high up on the pecking order of each of their positions. So I like where it's at. I like how early the guys are going to be back. The 19's not due to the end of April, and that's really the list that matters the most because 22 is still not information I really want to get into.
Have you inquired with the FIVB that if you list Tom Hoff as an assistant, he can still suit up and play?
I was going to say, is he coming back for his 33rd year?
You know, I just had to step out of the gym. I just told Tom to take care of practice. So he's running the gym for us right now. He's in there, but Tom's in there practicing right now and being great. Doesn't matter how young these guys are that are in there right now. Tom's holding them to a pretty high standard right now.
Alan, he's just happy to be out of the house. Alan, he's got five daughters at home.
By the way, Alan, Tom was on our 1994 Tulsa Championship team. Just so
you know, it's amazing. It is amazing. It doesn't matter how far back you go nationals. You know, Tommy's picture is probably in there somewhere.
That's good stuff.
Talk about your goals and expectations for this summer overall. The World League starts it off. It ends with World Championships. Yeah. What do you think this team can do?
Well, you know, I think this team can do very well in both competitions. Obviously, we want to move forward to the World League Finals, as was our goal last year. We want to play well and get on the podium, and that's the goal for World League Finals. We want to get there. Obviously, some of it's in our control, some of it's not. We'll worry about the stuff that is, but we want to be on the podium receiving a medal at the World League Finals. And when it comes to the World Championships, I know there's a few guys on the team that weren't happy with their finish last time they had an opportunity to play in this tournament. The email exchange has been wonderful with the guys as far as their goals and their desire to put in everything they have to be great when we get to Italy. And, I like it. It's a grind. It's a long tournament. We'll be moving around. But I think the way we're trying to set up this summer, we're going to play through the World League. We're going to try to give them a little bit of time to catch their legs. We're going to come back, and the schedule is what we're trying to do right now, and it's still a little up in the air. We thought we had a little friendly match set up with Poland in Chicago at the end of August, but it seems that they've pulled out, and we're trying to get a replacement for that right now. And then if we were able to do that, we'd be able to come back to Anaheim and train, and the goal is to get over to Italy prior to the World Championships about 5 to 7 days early and have the opportunity to train twice against the opponents and then get ready for the tournament. Because what I didn't want to do was get over there for one of these European tournaments and then come back for 7 days and then turn around and go back to Europe again, have the guys feel like they're constantly on a plane, and we never really had a decent training block prior to the World Championships.
Alan Knipe, head coach for the men's national team. I have one last question for you, my friend. Have you ever had a better job than four-man beach volleyball tour that you were a member of?
Are you kidding me? No way.
That is a tour.
That's a tour that needs to come back. Are you kidding
guaranteed
me?
Guaranteed $3,000 a week. Brand. Yeah, and you guys just raged.
Yeah. Well, I'll guarantee you, it was at least $900 a week, I'll tell you that.
It was like $3,000 guaranteed.
You know, it was pretty impressive. There's four teams on there. You're guaranteed at least about $1,000. You got per diem. Your flight paid for. You win the whole thing and you're over $3,000. And plus, a couple years there was even a Sony Grand Prix pool that ended up with about a $40,000 check at the end.
How much did they still owe you? How much did you have to write off at the end?
You know what? Good thing that I was playing such a poor brand of volleyball by the last year. I didn't have to worry about any of that. Those are stories that you got to call maybe a guy like Coley Kyman, who made his debut in the last year when nobody got paid.
Oh, great. That was the greatest story ever. It really was.
It was good stuff. It was good stuff.
Alan, we appreciate you joining us here on the Net Live. We want to have you back definitely during the summer and talk a little bit more about how your team is doing and how things are going.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks, Geeter. Thanks, Barney. I'll see you guys soon, anytime.
All right. See you soon. Bye-bye. Head coach Alan Knight, good stuff. Good stuff. I like stuff there. He sounds better. I saw him in the gym about 2 months ago. I'm actually going to be down there tomorrow morning again. But I saw him in the gym 2 months ago. He said, hey, have me on. Because I actually know what I'm talking about this year.
Yeah, and he admits. I mean, that's a you're jumping
tough.
Into the fire there, you know. And
we talked about it on the show last year, leading into it, because it was all right. Countdown: 80 days, still no coach, and he came in with about 60 days to go. I think it was. I have to go back. It was really tight to learn about the competition, your staff, your own people. It's unbelievably challenging.
And then your opponents.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a whole other beast.
Yeah.
And then he cuts my guy Nils Nielsen, which I'm still sore about.
Why don't you jump in?
There's a lot of outside hitters out there, Dan.
A lot of outside hitters, Dan.
I know.
He'll just have to be on the six man.
All right, buddy.
All right, The Net Live, VolleyballNetwork.com. Still coming. Trivia slam down, Dan.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Hang on. Other side of the break.
Mysterious face. They were like, try to smile. I was like, I don't smile at the opponents on the other side of the net. Like, oh, haha. No, you want to kill them. Anyway, but I think it's good you guys have a radio show.
Phil and Todd versus Karch and Kent. Who takes it?
I think Phil and Todd are the best in the world and would beat Kent and me, but in the old rules, I think Kent and I had that format pretty well down, and I think we'd have a slight edge.
Thought we were muted. Good thing we didn't say anything bad about the fans during that, huh?
Oh my gosh.
Have we had our true feelings out on the air? That could have been trouble.
Just about anything goes.
We're going to have a karaoke session later. Danny said he wants to do Tiny Bubbles.
Was that even a good championship? It wasn't good. We've already forgotten about it.
The Net Live on TheVolleyballNetwork.com, Mondays at 5.
Welcome back. The Net Live on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. Dan, we give you a mic. You keep bringing us back early from commercial. I'll let you know the mic is on. You're excited over there,
aren't
you?
I don't have to raise my hand.
You're glad you have it.
I'm just jamming to these tunes, man.
It's good stuff. Hey, I wanted to touch on one thing before we get to trivia.
Yep.
Alan talked about the balance, and you've talked about raging and partying and the six-man and the four-man and a lot of that stuff going on, and the lifestyle of some players.
Sure.
I think there's always a balance there, and I think for a long time I fell on the conservative side of it as a player. As an adult now, I fall on the other side of it.
Yeah.
My post-volleyball career of, you know, getting out and having a good time. But there's always that blend of, am I overdoing it? And there were definitely guys I played with, insane. Every weekend on the national team, they're blotto from Friday night till Sunday morning. And they're terrible from Monday through Wednesday.
There needs to be a balance. And the older you get, you learn those lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
I think it's invaluable, a team that's able to go out together, celebrate a big win, have those moments where you can blow off some steam, and as we call rage, have a great time. Those things are invaluable. They bring guys together. It builds camaraderie.
And I missed that as a player. Yeah, I missed that as a young guy. I didn't do it.
It's part of being on the team, and it makes it special, and that's why the six-man is so fun. But you can't cross that line if you're going to be at your highest level, because you can't be luggage from Monday to Wednesday.
Right.
You know? And you got to pick your times and pick your battles. You can't just go – out and get hammered, you know, every single night because you have nothing else to do. Then it's a problem. You got to have your priorities straight, and partying and having fun has to be in there, but it's got to be at the right times.
I think it's a tough part of the coach's job to have that discussion with each individual player.
Absolutely.
And it's different for each individual, what they can handle physically, mentally, and it's a challenge. I think something that a lot of coaches, when they get into coaching, don't think about the other issues they're going to have to deal with besides the X's and O's.
And it's a great topic to debate and talk about, not just because I happen to like raging, but because I think it's valuable. And I think you're 100% right when you're talking about some of those young guys that don't know how to balance it.
Well, I've killed Matt Anderson on this program several times. Mm-hmm. You know, I voted in biggest disappointment of 09. Because here's a kid, I think he has unlimited potential. He could be Matej Kaczyski, who is a Bulgarian guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a kid, he's about 6'10", mm-hmm. moves well on the court, passes the ball pretty well, jumps out of the gym, has a good arm. I just look at this guy and go, this is the big stick that should just be crushing transition balls and scoring points and taking this team to the next level. That's what should be happening with this guy. Instead, he just disappeared.
Let's have him on the show.
Yeah. I love Matt. Matt, I'm beating you up.
See, I don't know
him, I think you're going to be great.
Get him on the beach.
I think you're going to be great. I think Rooney and Matt Anderson could get first. That's what I think. Forget Dan. Get Dan out of the discussion.
Yeah.
Or maybe fourth. Is there a fourth?
There used to be.
I know. It's all odd numbers. All right, Dan. Now's the time, buddy. You got a mic.
Go.
You don't even have to get up.
Go,
Geeter,
no,
you have a mic. No
I'm
more
so
excuses,
excited,
buddy.
No more raising your hand. All right?
Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go. Question number one has to do with this show that already – one thing that already happened. Okay. So our first caller asked about Geeter and AVP and ESPN Broadcasting.
Yep.
What was the name of that caller?
Kevin.
Oh. What, are you looking it up? Do you have it like
no, I don't have it.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Rewinding the thing.
I remember.
First caller. I hope he's still on.
No, I remember. He's
from, Baltimore.
He's from Baltimore.
From Baltimore.
I didn't ask.
I remember that. Time. Bruce.
Nope.
Dang it.
I'm sorry.
Nick.
No, but it's four letters.
God, I remember.
John.
Jack.
Starts with an E.
Evan.
No, it wasn't Evan.
Evan's the kid in history class right now.
Well, we could have another Evan.
Ernie? No, God, it was something I totally remember.
Four letters?
I don't know. I don't know how he spelled it.
E-R-N-Y.
Alan.
Eric.
Eric, our apologies.
Geeter, are you keeping track?
Good stuff. All right, that's actually 0-0. One for Dan.
Yeah, we should play this like Balderdash. Okay, in the TV show The Apprentice, Donald Trump's catchphrase is...
Kevin.
These two.
You're fired.
Correct.
You're fired.
Did you really... Is that,
you just have said I scored it. You're fired.
I mean,
Geeter, you got to understand.
Well, I know.
You're
going to
get the rest.
Just don't worry.
What are you talking about?
I just get upset about stuff
all right.
like this.
All right.
It's why? Because it's too easy? Well, then why...
Would you
no, because
Dan.
It beat me to the spot. Just go. Right.
Yesterday, Tiger Woods offered a 5-minute interview to ESPN.
Who Geeter, Tom Rinaldi.
Correct.
Gosh.
Who conducted that interview?
Tom Rinaldi. Do I get it again?
I got it.
Good.
No, you don't have to finish the question. Hey, Dan, that's actually part of it. If I say my name
or Geeter
says his name, you don't get the rest of the question.
No,
absolutely
I know,
great.
But I have to finish it after the answer because if you get
right,
the answer,
right,
if
right,
you get the answer before
right.
I finish, some
true.
People out there don't know what your answer.
You're correct. Nice
all
Gator
right.
shirt. Here we
here
go.
We go. You can order them online at
kindagood.com. There you go. Yes.
This buzzer-beating three-pointer by Michigan State beat which ACC team?
Geeter, Maryland.
You are going to get the rest of these. If they're all basketball questions, he is going to get the rest of these.
All right. What year did the Patriots of George Mason University make it to the NCAA?
Oh, this is a good one.
Geeter,
2006.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a tricky
Dan.
One.
Like, yeah,
Dan, what did I have to do? Wikipedia
beat,
the tournament this morning and read the whole thing?
They beat UConn.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
Ask me who won Texas.
Hey, you're not going to get this one either. Ali Farouk Manesh hit the winning shot to beat Kansas on Saturday.
Kevin,
I got it.
Kevin.
Oh!
Kevin.
Why did I say I got it?
I don't know. It was not the winning shot. First of all, it was the dagger, and then he hit the free throws. Would you like to know what his connection is to volleyball? His father played in the Iranian national team.
Unbelievable.
His mother is a coach. His mother took 2 years off to follow her son's college basketball career and was recently named the head coach of a Division III program. He was a setter. What else do you want to know?
What team does he play for?
Northern Iowa.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dude, I think I just talked my way into actually getting Dan to give me the rest
a little
of the
bit,
question.
Yeah, I went a little overboard. I'm a little bit pissed because
Dan,
he was really trying to figure out the answer.
Yeah,
head,
I read this. I read this morning, going, Dan is definitely going to pick up on this. I'm going to get one question right. So.
Did you know that he had a connection to volleyball?
Me?
I had no idea what he was talking about. I just
I read it
guy
this morning
for Northern Iowa.
Yeah, I read it this morning.
And by the way, it was the dagger.
Yeah,
it was
I
the
know,
dagger.
Yeah, they were up two. They're up one or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. Whatever, thanks for correcting me.
Mm-hmm.
You got what I was talking about. What actress was Monroe Clark's love interest in the movie Side Out?
Ooh, that's a good one.
What address?
Actress.
Oh, actress, Kevin. Courtney Thorne Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
All right, so I got a Beach King.
Do you have
a
question about Spiker?
I have the VHS.
You ever seen Spiker?
Yeah, I've seen it. Absolutely. Was that Catch Facelli? Isn't that what they call it?
Catch Facelli.
Catch Facelli.
It is a terrible film.
I need a VHS player. I have the VHS tape. But I don't know how to play it.
Dan, go.
Which men's NCAA Division I volleyball team is currently ranked number one?
Kevin.
Stanford!
Did you say your name?
Kevin. Can I cuss on this thing? I am so pissed.
Stanford.
Correct.
I would have said Stanford. Thanks, Geeter.
This is so uncalled for, by the way.
Next
you
question.
You can say your name or go ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. No, you have
he
to say your name.
He only gets the volleyball questions. Like, he gets the side out Courtney Thorne
Smith. Because there's no motocross
question. All of a sudden, this Alan Fakesh kid, his dad played for the – I mean, what are we talking about here?
All right. The net live. You know.
The net live.
It's a volleyball net, not the net on the back.
I know.
Okay.
The next two have nothing to do with sports.
Oh,
Jay-Z's Empire State of Mind features what female vocal?
Kevin. Beyonce. What? Look, he were marking it down.
Oh, my God, that's right.
You were marking it down.
Oh,
who is
goodness,
it?
Oh,
hold
my
on.
Goodness.
Hold on. Oh, God. Oh, God. No, Jennifer Hudson. Oh,
what?
Hold on, hold on. No. Alicia Keys.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah, Alicia Keys. Yes, it does. I got it first. Hold on.
I
just said Alicia
guess,
Keys. But at this point, we're throwing out answers.
Aren't yeah, at this point, you're both
all right,
Geeter
gets it. I'll give it to
Geeter. How are you not getting Alicia Keys? Come on.
Bobby Brown. Oh, no. Here we go. Whitney Houston.
All right.
I got Alicia Keys, okay? I said I messed up at first. I got rattled.
Which,
go.
Which political party does Speaker
what
of the House...
What number is this?
Number 10.
Okay.
Which political party does Speaker of the House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi belong to?
Kevin.
Democrats. Ding, 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 ding.
Does that mean I win, Geeter? It looks
tied
like...
4-4.
No,
I gave
four.
You
there's
one.
A 5.
Well, no.
That's my 5. I just got it.
To be a 4.
I just got
but
that
But I crossed
five.
You out because you didn't get the right one with Beyonce.
Well, true, but I just got this one, so that's 5.
Does he have 5?
5-4, and there was one missed one. The very first one nobody
wow,
got.
Wow, the first time you've ever beaten me.
Yes, trivia slam
and by
domination.
The way, when I go listen to this tape, there's going to be a lot of controversy. I gave him Stanford. You're fired. I mean, he could get all these that I had already was already saying.
You can curse in your own room without the microphone all
and
you
I'm
want.
And I'm pissed about the Northern Iowa one. The guy, I don't know what that diatribe about the guy's dad and the mom and the volleyball tie.
I just summarized an entire article from USA Today for you. You don't even have to
that
read
you read
it.
This morning, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Did you even know Northern Iowa beat Kansas?
Yeah, I saw the end.
Okay.
At my mom's house, I was dropping off the kids to go play cards.
Dude, Kansas turned it on, huh?
Kansas. I heard they were down the whole game. I only saw the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, but they were just firing.
They came back and scored those 6 points.
If
to get
that guy
it
doesn't
one.
Shoot that ball, they lose.
Matt Schwerbringer and I had this conversation yesterday. He brought it up as a great point. If you're Kansas and you're more athletic and you're more physical and you're down 12 or whatever down, you start pressing with the last 4 minutes of the game and you're stealing the ball every single time and scoring every time, why don't you start the game like that? Maybe go up 15 or 20, and then it's never a game. They waited way too long. They let Northern Iowa dictate the pace. They let Northern Iowa come down and run their offense. They didn't pressure them.
If you have better athletes, why are you down at all?
Because they let Northern Iowa dictate the pace of the game, and those guys can ball, and they play great defense. But Kansas didn't have a sense of urgency to the last 4 minutes of the ball game.
If you're a favorite in these rounds, you want to be playing the second day of that round. You know, like someone, you know, Kansas loses on Saturday. If you're a one seed on Sunday, you're saying, "Holy crap, I got to take this number 9 seed seriously." And Stanford did, or
sort
Syracuse
of a warning.
Did. Syracuse beat the crap out of Gonzaga.
I guess you just want to be playing after the first real upset happens.
Yeah,
so
you
can
want to be that.
You
one.
Can be more focused. Yeah,
more
yeah.
upsets
I think
than
Kansas
ever.
Kansas pretty complacent. Everyone picked them to be in the finals, probably the winner.
More upsets than ever because at the blue chip schools, those athletes leave after a year or two to go to the NBA. You rarely have seniors. And, you know, all these schools like Northern Iowa, these guys are older. They've been around. Now Siena, these kind of teams, Cornell, these guys have been on the team for 3-4 years.
I think one of the things you see out of a team like Northern Iowa is you see better shooting than a lot
and
of these
athletes.
And those
guys are like 28 years old, aren't they? Aren't they from?
Yeah, they're all Mormons. They went for 4 years,
they
mission, came back. Yeah, when I was watching the guys jump up and down on the bench, So who are these dumpy fools?
Yeah.
How are they beating Kansas right now?
They had beards that looked like Dan Mann's.
Oh.
And really ridiculous-looking tattoos.
Yes. I mean, it was an interesting squad.
I don't know. Cool tattoos. It was ridiculous.
I have Kentucky winning it, so I'm happy. I need a Kansas out.
You're a leg up on everybody.
Oh, you got like three first-round pros on that team.
That team's good.
They're going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, Syracuse?
Dan, our next week's question is all going to be about it again. All about the tournament. Do I have to watch
it
all week?
I need you to know what's going on next week's tournament.
I have to watch the entire tournament this week.
You won, and like half of the questions were about NCAA basketball.
I don't know how that
happened. You got one NCAA basketball question right. Yeah. I got the rest. Do not kid yourself out there, son. The Stanford one would end up being the game winner. I gave him.
You did give me that one. But, you know, we've been playing this for now 5 weeks.
I say it first, I know, but why do I have to say my name, dude?
You know, it's the rule.
It's his rule.
If you
want
to spike the ball under the net, it's not a point, even if it lands on my side, okay?
I'm pissed. I don't get it.
Well, you can try again next week. You're going to be back.
I don't lose ever. So
you'll be back here next week. We'll try again.
Hey, you know what? Let's go Barney make the questions, and let's go Madden versus...
All right, we'll have a new trivia slam down.
Dude, I'm not going to be able to answer any of Barney's questions. They're going to be insane.
It's been good having you.
It's been good. Thanks for having me.
It's been damn glad you had a microphone.
Again next week?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, check out thevolleyballnetwork.com. It's all new content all week. Videos. We got player videos. We have a lot of different stuff going up there. Articles. Lots of great information.
I finally have a picture up there.
There you go.
About us.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks for checking in. TheVolleyballNetwork.com. The Net Live. It's been a lot of fun. See you next Monday.